God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. No one likes a snitch. Whether you're talking about a third grader or someone at the office, no one likes someone who is a tattletale. However, if I am governed and guided by my fear of violating some unwritten code about snitches and tattletales, then what might happen is I might allow something that is wrong to go unchecked. And at some point, the only counter to deceit is action. And so there's an entire chapter in Deuteronomy that basically addresses what you might call the snitch. Now, the problem with using that word is that it automatically has a connotation. It's wrong. Any necessity, any virtue, in fact, can be turned on its head and made to become a cartoon character of what it actually should be. So that sometimes we allow wrong, we allow evil, because we don't want to be the so-called snitch. What is God's ethic about this kind of thing? In Deuteronomy chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Then, okay, so he says, look, here's a prophet, and he gives you a prediction, and it comes true. Now, the tendency would be to make the standard, did he foretell something that happened or not? When the real test is he speaking the truth about Jehovah or not? And it goes on to say that he's being treated very, very severely. Now, look, here's the point. You absorb what you allow. This was a singular community in a land full of people that did not love Jehovah, in fact, hated him, were doing what was wrong. And so what follows here is Jewish civil law. And I don't think the takeaway is that we're to go out and stone someone for speaking falsehood. However, you absorb what you allow, and your bias should be for God. The entire point of Deuteronomy 13 is that we're to love God and walk after God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice and serve him and cleave unto him. Again, there's no difference between loving God and obeying him and loving him. It's not one or the other. It's both and one indicates the other. If I love God, I'm going to serve him. If I serve God, I don't want to do so without some heart for him. So your bias should be for God. Now look, there are three instances of people who might turn your heart from God. One is a false prophet. And it's easy to say, well, is what he's saying, did it come true or not? And the answer is the metric should be your bias for God. It should be, is he speaking the truth for God or not? The reason God may even allow something to come to pass that a false prophet has said is that the Lord your God proves you. He tests you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Another example is a loved one, a brother or someone close. And the ethic might very well be for us, well, I like him. In fact, the Bible says in verse 6, someone that is as thine own soul. And yet the ethic is to be, thou shalt not consent unto him nor hearken to him. The ethic should be, is what he is saying about God, is it true? It's not whether you love him. It's not, did the prophecy come true? The ethic is he speaking the truth about God? Again, in verse 13, the Bible talks about maybe strangers, someone who has gotten a following in some city that is not your own. And the ethic might be to have a bias to either before or against him based on your ignorance. No, you're to inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth. So in each case, whether it is a prophet or someone you like or someone you don't know in a foreign city, the ethic is to be one, and that is what they're saying about God true? Because God is concerned that we love him and have a heart for him. So here's the bottom line. You absorb what you allow. Any kind of social or even moral change in a society basically follows the time-worn path of you allow, then you accept, and then you're compelled to celebrate. Here's a society that is against something. They believe it is wrong in some way. And then over time, they allow for it. And then over time, they accept it. And then over time, they celebrate it. And then over time, they take a hammer to those who would begrudge it or who would be against it because their whole ethic has changed. Look, you absorb what you allow. So the question this morning for us ought to be, what am I allowing in my heart, in my life? What have I allowed this past week? In the things that I hear, in the things that I watch, in the things that I allow myself to absorb. God is a merciful God. Verse 17. And the whole point is that we should hearken to the voice of the Lord our God to keep all his commandments. Moses goes on to say, which I command thee this day to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. So what about you? You absorb what you allow. What about your thoughts? Sometimes it's easy to hear content and say, well, hey, that makes sense to me. That seems to work. Now look, even a broken clock, as we've often heard, is right twice a day. And there are people who maybe hate God that may say things that are true. If they say things that are true, all truth is God's. And the reason what they say is true is because in that particular instance, it happens to agree with the creator who made this universe. The universe works as it was created to work. Now, we're a sin-cursed earth, and I understand that. But what I'm saying is God made the world by design. And so my thoughts, what am I allowing and therefore what am I absorbing as to the way I think? What about my attitudes? Isn't it amazing what offends us? Someone can blaspheme God and we don't seem to make any objection, but you come to Deuteronomy 13 and when God talks about dealing severely with such, many times we think, well, what right does God have to do that? Well, the fact of the matter is you're going to give somebody the right and there is no right, there is no wrong if there is no God. So you absorb what you allow. What are your thoughts? What are your attitudes? What are your loyalties? You know, these people, the Israelites, were coming into a land, the land of Canaan. They were a nation, that is, they had a common God. They had families, each of them, and they had God. Now, at which point does your loyalty lie? Now, I think it's wonderful when all these loyalties align, your land, your nation, your family, and your God. But the point of Deuteronomy 13 is that God is to be our highest priority as to what we allow and therefore what we absorb. What about your ethics? The ethic, the governing principle was hearken to God and keep his commandments. Love him and do what is right in whose eyes? Do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. If I'm doing what is right in my own eyes, that is chaos. If I'm doing right in the eyes of the majority of the day, then that may well be cowardice, but it's not an honest following of God Jehovah. Look, God is the one that created this universe. God is the one that establishes right and wrong. And God's ethic is to be the ethic that governs me in my life today. So let me ask you a question. When things come up that are not right in your world, they're wrong. Who speaks up? Now, we should love as God loves us. We should have the mind of Christ, and we should have the courage to speak up when something is going on that is not right. In your home, in your church, in your work, in your life, ask God to give you wisdom to know what is right, and then ask God to give you the courage to do something about it because you will absorb what you allow.